There was once a rather cantankerous old lady who used to cook at one of the much better devotees. You know what cantankerous means? Somewhat ill-tempered, difficult to get along with, quarrelsome. So she died, as old people usually do at this time. And shortly after that, some of the devotees at the mat were talking about her. And they were all recalling all the different fights they had with her. Then Sarasar Thakur happened to walk in the room when they were talking about her. And he said, "Well, don't you also remember how she used to cook for you every day? How she very dutifully performed and affectionately performed that service?" And they all fell silent. There was, at Cuttack, of course many of these stories I'm telling are from Cuttack, a city in Orissa. Because Jati Shetapapa was from Cuttack and he joined the Madhva, and he had many remembrances from that. So the branch of the Gauriya Madhva is called Satyanamunda Mat. You just move this harmonium, so the Madhva doesn't put her feet on it. It's also part of the Lord's paraphernalia, so actually we should not put our feet anywhere. So, that's called the Satchidananda Mantra. Bhakti Sansasra Thakur means after Satchidananda Thakur Bhakti. No, Satchidananda is another name for Thakur Bhakti. No. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been a teacher for some time in Cuttack. Although when the mat was established there, he had quite some time before passed away. So anyway, how it started was that first of all the devotees, they had a rented house in Cuttack. They started their preaching activities from there. It's like that in ISKCON also, we see throughout the world. Usually the devotees, they rent a building and they use it for some time, and then when the activities expand, they get their own temple, their own building. So in the beginning in Cuttack, they were worshipping the deities in a rented house, which is actually quite untraditional, because although householders would worship their deities at home, brahmacharis, they wouldn't rent a house. It was just unheard of. But Bhakti Sansasra Thakur did many unheard of things for the sake of preaching. So what happened, there was one Chintamani Babu, one betel nut merchant of Cuttack, and he had a deity, Shalagram Shila, and this Shila was quite famous for fulfilling people's desires. So one time he had a dream that we should give this deity to Bhakti Sansasra Thakur. Now at the same time there was one lady in Cuttack who had some land, a nice piece of land near the city center. And she also had a dream that she should give this land to a sadhu, but she didn't know which sadhu to give it. So she wrote the names of different sadhus on a piece of paper and put it in a bag, and had her daughter, local sadhus, and had her daughter pull out the name. So the name came out of Bhakti Sansasvati. So without any endeavor on his part, Siddhanta Saraswati had land in Cuttack. And Chintamani Babu, Chintamani Nayak, he also donated to build the temple. But Sarasvati Thakur, he was so little displeased, because the land is a nice location on an important road, but along the main road there are all different shops. So he wasn't very pleased that the entrance to the temple, the people, they won't be able to see the temple because it's blocked by the shops. So the shops, they actually belong to Chintamani Babu. So he got the shopkeepers to move out and gave that land also, and they demolished the shops, and then made a wall, and it was nicely situated, the temple. We made a nice temple, and the deities of Radha, Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were installed. And that Shalagram Shiva is also worshipped. And there's the... They had the printing press there for printing all your books. Bhakti Sanskar Thakur opened the press. He gave a lecture inside the press room. And he said that this printing press, it is aprakrita, it is transcendental, just as the deity is transcendental. He said that the printing press is not any less important. The printing press and the production of books is not any less important than the worship of the deity. So he deliberately played this, it's very close, I mean, just a 2 minutes walk from the deity room. So all the time the clack, 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 and those old presses, you know, that sound would be there. But Sasar Thakur considered this sound to be very pleasing because it's the printing of transcendental literature. So as I was explaining yesterday, Sasar Thakur had one room on the roof above the Brahmachari ashram, and you can still see that the bed he used and the shoes, the wooden shoes he used, are still preserved. And there's also a photo, which is now in very bad condition, of from the time when they moved the deities from the rented house to the new marble temple in Calcutta. Just behind the temple, within the boundary wall of the Nathland, there was a nice pond, man-made pond. So they did and still do use this pond for washing all the deities' pots, and like this, using water for worshipping the deities. Now, people in Bengal and Orissa, as I was explaining, most of them are very fond of eating fish. Unfortunately, not true. So people used to come and fish in the pond. Bhakti Sanskar Thakur, he didn't like this at all. He said, you should not take fish from this pond. And this is none different from the Yamuna. But there was one man who, anyway, repeatedly came and was fishing there. Until one day a snake bit him. Be careful. Anyway, we shouldn't perform sinful activities, but if we're specifically warned not to by a great saintly person, then we should be especially careful to heed their warning. And similarly, in Calcutta once, an advocate came to see Sasar Thakur. And he was smoking cigarettes right in front of him in his very presence. And Sasar Thakur requested him not to do so. But anyway, he did. And within a short time, he got typhoid or cholera, I can't remember. And then he also died. Not that Bhaktisthan Sasar Thakur hated anyone, but Krishna didn't tolerate the offenses against his pure devotee. Many times, people like advocates and professors and highly educated people come to Sasar Thakur. There are various reasons for that. Generally, in India anyway, people like to come to see sadhus. Another reason was that Sasar Thakur was well known as a great scholar and intellectual himself, and that he spoke very strongly. And the points he made, many of them were not popularly accepted. For instance, it was known that he was against, favorable towards the Indian independence movement. It was known that he was not in favor of the Ramakrishna mission, which was very highly respected, even though they had flesh-eating sannyasis and other various severe discrepancies. Even today in Bengal, if you speak against the Ramakrishna mission, you do so at the risk of your life. Of course, with the rise of ISKCON, their influence has gone down a little. But even in 1970 or 1971, Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jayanta Thakur and said that, he said, these people, they're complete rascals, but don't speak publicly against them. because it's you know, it's just not the atmosphere to do so. Prabhupada said, Bhakti Sansasa didn't openly speak against him, but privately he said that this Ramakrishna guy with his beard, he looks just like a goat. Chadol Ramakrishna. Goat Ramakrishna. Another person who was very highly respected in Bengal was Rabindranath Tagore, who was, from a material point of view, he was a very highly talented poet. And he'd even won a Nobel Prize for Literature, Dynamite Prize for Literature. So he was very highly regarded, and still is today. But Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur used to call all these people boka, which means fool. So once Ravi Tagore wrote a series of articles in a newspaper under a pseudonym, so Saraswati Thakur replied to all his misconceptions, also under a pseudonym. So anyway, many intellectuals used to come to see Saraswati Thakur, especially when he got that prestigious building at the Bagh Bazaar. And many of them came with challenging motive. They were not satisfied with his message. But Saraswati Thakur, he would always defeat people in discussion. No one could stand before him. Once a group of scholars came to see them, they said, "We have many questions to ask you." So Saraswati Thakur said, "All right." But he said, "First you just listen to me." So they agreed. And he spoke for over 2 hours. Then he said, "So what are your questions?" They didn't want to ask any questions. They could understand that there was no use to challenge him, that his depth of understanding was so far superior to them that they could understand. Of course, they might not admit it, but they could understand that their objecting was like children's objections compared to him. All right, this won't be exactly a linear discussion, but just as ideas come in my head, I'll say. Once a man came to the Gauri Math and came to join. And usually people came to join, they were sent to do some menial service, especially washing pot, clean out the cow shed and some of those things. Even if they were very highly qualified materially, that was their first service. Saraswati Thakur repeatedly emphasized that there is no material qualification for devotional service. And although he mostly preached to the more educated class of people and some very highly educated people joined him, he always emphasized that Krishna cannot be understood simply by one's brain power. Atashi Krishna Namadina Bhavad Brahim Indriyai Sevam Bhukhe Hi Jivado Swadeva Spuratiyadaha. He would repeatedly quote this verse from Narada Pancharatra.
And give the translation.
So actually he had some very highly educated and brilliant followers, some. Many were also simple, uneducated people who were attracted to the principles of purity which he established. So I said, anyways, once someone came to join the mat, and he was sent to the kitchen, and after 2 or 3 days, the devotee said, "You see this man, he's doing such good service. He scrubs the pot so hard, you never saw anyone scrub so hard like that." So Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur didn't seem very impressed. He said, "All right, we'll see how he does." So after a few days, the man's wife came and took him back home. The devotee said, "You see, he was so enthusiastic, he just went back so easily." So Bhaktisthan Saraswati Thakur explained, he had had an argument with his wife, and he wanted his wife to submit to him. So he came and joined the monk. And he was just waiting for his wife to come and say sorry, and then he'd go back. He was in a very angry mood, so that's why he was scrubbing the pot so hard. Of course, many young men used to come and join the mat as brahmacharis. And often their parents didn't like them. Does that ever happen in Russia? I think it's all over the world since the beginning of time. If a young man wants to be a sadhu, then the mother all of a sudden often develops a very serious disease that can only be cured if her husband comes home, if her son comes home. Or the whole family threatens to commit suicide, and so on. These are normal things. Often the families used to come looking for their son. And lots of tears and wailing and bawling and falling on the ground, tearing their hair. I mean, Bengalis are very expressive people. Sasar Thakur would hide the brahmacharis away. And he would warn them, don't be moved by the tears of your mother. That is Maya calling. And even the parents would call the police. He'd say, do you know where that boy is? No. So Sasar Thakur said, if we didn't do like this, there would be no Gauriya Math. Because, you know, almost all the parents, they were, you know, on the verge of suicide if their son didn't come back. Of course, in all these cases, when the son didn't come back, surprisingly, the mother's disease somehow or other became cured anyway. And the families who were all going to commit suicide, they, you know, just when they were going to do it, they decided, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. But Sasar Thakur, he commented that even though, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu commented that even though Sasar Thakur was very strict, he was very kind also. He said if he hadn't been, then who could have stayed in the mat? Because most of his followers were Bengalis. And although generally mothers are known to be oceans of kindness, Bengali mothers are especially affectionate, especially towards their sons. As Prabhupada told Kalavishnu Maharaj when he was going to preach in Bangladesh, he said that you should preach with the courage of an Englishman and the heart of a Bengali mother. So these young men who were joining the mission, they were used to lavish affection and pampering at home. So if Sasar Thakur hadn't been very kind, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu said, then how could anyone have stayed? Sasar Thakur would often go around at night after the brahmacharis had taken rest, and he'd see if anyone hadn't put their mosquito net, he would personally put it for them. There's one devotee, Sadhikananda, who didn't like to sleep at night very much. He liked to stay up and chant more and more rounds. If you've seen, they have these, in India they have these cots like beds and wooden beds, and they have four sticks in the four corners for tying the mosquito net. So Sadhikananda would sit on his cot chanting, and so he wouldn't fall asleep, he had his shika tied up to the stick. So when he started to fall asleep, he'd go like this. So Sasar Thakur said that actually this is not the process of chanting. He said it's not a mechanical process, it has to come from the heart. Although Swadhikananda was much dedicated to, he had a very sincere desire to chant the holy names of the Lord. Generally, Sasar Thakur, his whole mood was that everyone should be very busy. He wanted everyone to follow sadhana, but he also wanted everyone to be busy in preaching activities. He would have the devotees go out early in the morning before people went to work and go door to door for begging. Then people would give some rice, some dal, some vegetables, maybe some monetary contribution. So in this way, he always wanted the devotees to be very busy, so he would be preaching and helping others and also not getting maya. In Oriya language, there is the word matawa, which means a lazy person. It means someone who lives in a muck. In other words, people, they have no work to do, so they're just lying around doing nothing. So Sarasvati Thakur said, you should not be a matwa. Another word he used was mata medhi. So he had griha medhi. So he said, you shouldn't be a mata medhi. Simply, a griha medhi is a materialistic household who has no interest in spiritual life. So he said, you should not be a mata medhi. Simply, living in the mat with no interest in spiritual life. Sometimes he used to say that some of his mats, they were like a kawa dawa jukan, which means like a joint mess. Joint mess means, just like people that say they've come from the village and they're living in the city, and they all come together and they all cooperatively, they cook together and they eat together, and it's a joint, the whole activity is just for, they cooperate together for the sake of eating. That's what a joint mess is. Yeah. Because it, you know, communism is doing like this. And it's part of industrial culture, capitalist culture. Anyway, he lamented that he saw that living in the temple, they'd get up, sing one or two, you know, have a little aarti, sing one or two bhajans, then they'd go and collect some rice and dal, and then they'd cook, and they'd eat, wash the pots, take rest, and then again for the next meal they'd cook and eat and wash the pots, and that was their whole day's activity. So the whole day's activity centered around eating. Of course, it's a lot of hard work to cook and to clean the pots and, you know, to eat so much, so plenty of sleeping was also important. So Sarasvati Thakur, to try to countermand this tendency, he always was pushing everyone to be very busy in preaching. Once he came to the mat in Madras and found that it was in a very bad state of affairs. Everything was very dirty and disheveled. The devotees were all fighting among themselves. There were no preaching activities. So Sarasvati Thakur just sent them all home. Oh, you all go home. Brahmacharya, just go home. He said, you're not fit to live in a mat. He just brought new brahmacharis from different places and started all over again. So it turned out Swadhikananda, he liked to chant. Practically all day he would chant either on his beads or with an adhanda. Either on his beads or singing with an adhanda. So the devotees, they were complaining to Sarasvati Thakur. See, he's not doing any work. He said, you're always telling us not to just sit in the temple and chant, but that's what he does. Sarasvati Thakur, he didn't want everyone just to sit in the temple and chant for two reasons, because he wanted preaching. Another reason, that he knew that in the name of sitting and chanting, they would be sitting and snoring. So in this case, however, Sarasvati Thakur said that, actually it's very good. And he ordered that an advertisement be put in the newspaper, that everyone is welcome to join the Gauri Math. We will provide food, clothing, shelter, all your basic requirements. But you have to chant Hare Krishna non-stop only. The Sarasvati Thakur said, if anyone could actually do it, like Swadhikana, that's very good. But no one came from here, from this advertisement. Later, Swadhikana was the well-known Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, who was well-known and a very dear friend to Prabhupada, who was very well-known as being fully absorbed in chanting the holy names all day and night, and was an emblem of humility. If anyone ever came to him with any questions, his reply was, Hare Krishna. So, although in his youth he would tie up his shika to stay awake while chanting, by practice he came to the stage where he conquered eating and sleeping, and he was chanting, chanting, chanting. Now, everyone knows India is basically, most of the country is pretty hot. Just like Russia is known as a cold country. But just as in Russia, some portion of the year can be quite hot, so similarly in India, in the northern parts, and in some parts of India, at some part of the year it can be quite cold also. So in Qatar, in the winter, for 1 or maximum 2 months, it's quite cold at night. Now, I was telling you that people were coming and fishing there, even against the devotee's desire. So they had a flour and vegetable garden also. So it was required that someone guard that at night, unless people would come and steal all the flowers and vegetables. Yes, even though it was a temple of the Lord, still there were people who had no scruples about stealing from it. So what they did, they had like a watchman's hut, like a small thatch hut just in the garden, keeping guard at night. So there was one Jagannath Brahmachari who used to stay out there at night. And even without warm bedding, he would stay out there in the winter. So he was quite proud of that. But Saraswati Thakur detected this pride in him. And he said that, well, someone else should stay out there now. Saraswati Thakur. And Jagannath Brahmachari said, no, he said, no, I'm the only one who can stay out in the cold. And Saraswati Thakur said, no, others can do it also. You're not the only one. Saraswati Thakur's main center was at Mayapur, Sri Chaitanya Math. And later the Dalbazar Math in Calcutta became equal or in some ways more important. But Saraswati Thakur also had many small maths, several small maths within the whole Navadvip Mandal, the area of Navadvip. So there was one at Mamgachi, which is a modern name of the village, which was previously known as Vidyanagar, which was the place of Vrindavan Das Thakur. Now there they had extensive land with gardens and they kept many cows there. So there's a lot of manual labor required. So if any devotee like committed some bad offense or did something quite wrong that he shouldn't do, he was sent to Mamgachi to do a little physical service. So that became known as the jail of the Gauriya Math. At Chaitanya Math also, there was some land where they hunt vegetables and all this cultivation. But the devotee in charge of organizing the gardening said that, well, no one wants to help. See, they're all great sadhus, they're all sitting and chanting on their beads, but no one wants to help grow vegetables to offer to Radha and Krishna. So when Saraswati Thakur heard this, he went straight out in the garden and said, tell me what to do, what needs doing. And he started working in the garden. When all the other devotees heard this, they all came out and said, no, no, you don't do, we shall do. And he said, all right, do it then. And he worked for some time himself in the garden along with so many of his disciples. And after that, there was always someone to work in the garden. That reminds me, actually, when I went to Gita Nagari, which is a farm project Prabhupada started in America, I saw the same thing, similar thing. I mean, I don't think anyone had refused to work in the garden. And I saw many devotees working in the garden. Among them was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Now, as I was saying, Saraswati Thakur used to send devotees out every day for collections. And some of the devotees, they were not just collecting a few potatoes here and there, but they were actually very expert in raising and getting significant contributions. So it came to Saraswati Thakur's notice that some of the sannyasis were boasting and saying that, you see, we're maintaining the whole institution. Saraswati Thakur is dependent upon us. Without our help, without our fundraising, none of the many programs could go on. Now, although the Saraswati Thakur's rule that everybody, every brahmachari, every sannyasi, except maybe the pujaris, they should go out every day for begging. He stopped everyone. Don't go on. He said, for 10 days, you all just sit in the mat and you hear and chant. That's all. And he himself went out for collection for one day only. But during those 10 days, so many contributions came to the mat, unsolicited. People were bringing cans of ghee and sacks of rice. And Saraswati Thakur explained that the mat is supported by Lakshmidevi. We are allowed to do some service of fundraising or whatever it may be. That's just our, that just Krishna's giving us a chance to serve him. But ideally, Lakshmi, she is the consort of Narayan. If she is pleased, then she will give everything. We are not the doers. We are not able to do anything. Sasari Thakur, he had, it's not exactly clear how many, at least 18 and maybe as many as 23 or 24 sannyas disciples. And Sasari Thakur was displeased with some of them, because he saw that in some of them there was a tendency to misuse their position. Because they were sannyasis, they tended to lord over the devotees and even mistreat them. And although it was natural that sannyasis would be respected by other devotees, they were like, very demanding of that respect. And they were more interested in enjoying the facilities of sannyas than leading the life of dedication to preaching, that is the meaning of sannyas. Not all sannyasis, but some of them. So Sasari Thakur said, Kalilam sannyasi hoi gelo bilashi, and made them into sannyasis, renunciates, but they have become sense enjoyers. Once there was one Puri Maharaj, I'm not sure which one, it is another Puri Maharaj who's long since passed away. So, he was doing some collection in Bombay, which is the, maybe Calcutta was the richest city, but anyway, Bombay is a rich city. So, you see, the Chaitanya Mata had been constructed, but at that time there was no drinking water facility. The Ganga was there at some distance. Now the Ganga is very close, but Ganga water isn't so suitable for drinking or general usage because it has a lot of mud in it. So it was very difficult for the devotees, so they wanted to make the tube works, some tube works. It means hand pumps. But these are quite expensive as you have to bore into the earth. So this Puri Maharaj, he was in the home of a rich merchant. He visited the home of a rich merchant in Bombay. And he was flattering the man's wife. He said, oh, you are just like Lakshmi, and was flattering her in so many ways. So the people they offered, here's some food, you please eat this. Yeah, the man and the family was with him. So Sannyasi refused and said, you see, I've come from Mayapur, and the devotees are suffering there so much for lack of drinking water. So he said, I won't eat anything unless you first pledge to give a donation for 6 tubers. Now, people think it's very inauspicious if a sadhu comes to their home and he doesn't eat anything, you have to feed him something. So the merchant said, well, you eat something first and then we'll discuss what you've come for afterwards, because he could understand he'd come for some donation. But he refused and said, if you give the donation first, then I'll eat afterwards. So the wife of the merchant became very afraid. She said, it's very inauspicious for us if he leaves without eating, so give him what he wants. So even though it was a very large sum of money, the merchant agreed. But when Sasari Thakur heard about this, he actually wasn't very pleased. He said, did you speak any Harikatha to those people? He said, it's not proper that you simply go and ask for some contribution. And you simply flatter them, that's not proper. He said that you should go and speak Harikatha, and then if they're satisfied with your preaching, then let them contribute. So there are a few anecdotes which give some insights into the character of Sasari Thakur. Hare Krishna. Questions? That's right, you must have seen the notes from the transcription from my book. That's where it came from. Well, actually, it's a play on words, which doesn't... It's a play on words. the words bhoga and bhogya, which means bhog, which is, that means that which is offered, which becomes prasad after the Lord enjoys it. And bhogya means, bhog means that which is to be enjoyed, that means food which is offered to the Lord. And bhogya means, bhogya means that which is to be enjoyed. And bhokta means he who is the enjoyer. So Sarasvati Thakur was saying that you are not the bhokta, you are not the enjoyer. You are the bhogya, you are that which is to be enjoyed. Similarly, he was saying that when we go for darshan of the Lord, darshan means seeing, but he was explaining that we present ourselves before the Lord that he will see us, not that we go to see him. So it's a matter of consciousness that I'm presenting myself before the Lord, that here I am, I'm your servant. Do you have a question?
What benefit do the parents of devotees get?
What benefit do the parents of devotees get? They also benefit. Every time they chant Hare Krishna, your parents benefit. It depends on your level of development, and their own attitude will also affect how much they benefit. But definitely all the family members of devotees, they get benefits of devotees, they get benefits. But definitely all the family members of devotees, they get benefit by that one person's being a devotee. It said that up to, in Shastra it said that up to 21 generations of a pure devotee, pure devotee's family, both ancestors and descendants, they all get liberated. Another question? Speak loudly. It's against religious principles? No, I'm asking you. Are you sure?
How is it connected with religious principles to kill?
Then, killing is not necessarily against religious principles, but unnecessary killing is against religious principles. For a king not to execute a murderer is against religious principles. If you read Krishna book, you'll find the answer to your question, where it's described there that at another time Krishna and Arjuna were hunting also. So Prabhupada explains that Kshatriyas, they used to go hunting for various reasons. One reason is they have to practice killing, because when it's required, they have to fight in battle and kill enemies. So if they become squeamish at the sight of blood, then how can they fight? So they have to get used to the rather unpleasant matter of killing. Another reason is that the rishis, they live in the forest, and therefore to reduce the population of dangerous animals in the forest, kshatriyas go hunting in the forest. Another reason is that the animals thus killed may be offered in sacrifice. So it's not nice. Killing is not nice. But as Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, there is fault in every kind of activity. Sanjana Kamakandya, Sadosha Napi Natyaja. And in every activity there is some kind of fault, but it should not be given up for that reason. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that Kshatriyas, they have to kill. Vaishyas, they may have to speak some lies in the matter of business transaction. And even Brahmanas may be involved in offering sacrifice of animals. So there's no way to avoid some nastiness in this material world. But one should not give up one's prescribed duties to